favorite scary movie. Have you checked the children?
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
Only been what, four months?
Yeah, how many, what episode is this now?
17?
Seven, Jesus, fuck, okay.
Maybe.
And first time for that issue, though.
That's no, because remember, it happened, like, it's happened in previous episodes.
So it took us 17 episodes to learn it. Cool.
Yeah, all right, so.
With that reflection of our incompetence, yes.
Let's go ahead and get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster, and as always, I am joined by my tired, but albeit happy to be here, Anthony Fuentes.
I like that, the way you put that. I am tired, but totally happy to be here, because we get to talk about this movie today. So yay.
Yeah. Today, we are talking about As Above, So Below, which is a 2014 film.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty soon, recent, anyway.
5 years, half a decade. But we're at the beginning of 2019, so it's closer to four, probably.
But also, you know, like 2014, I'm just like, oh yes, recently.
Yes.
Recently.
How long has my life been? Oh, that's like a fifth of my whole life? Okay.
Choke.
Don't say that.
Anyway. So, the synopsis for the film, in case you haven't seen it, which I actually would recommend you see it.
I recommend to, right off the bat, watch this bitch.
Yeah, like, it was
a good movie.
I enjoyed it. We'll go into some of the reasons why some people may or may not have liked it as much.
Why some idiots didn't like it.
But the synopsis, archaeologist Scarlett Marlowe, played by Perdita Weeks, has devoted her whole life to finding one of history's greatest treasures. Nicholas Flamel's Philosopher's Stone.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. According to legend, the artifact can grant eternal life and turn any metal into gold. When she learns that the stone is hidden underground in the catacombs of Paris, she assembles a crew to guide her and document her historic mission. As they begin their descent, the team members have no way of knowing that they're entering their own personal hell.
Yeah, that's a longer synopsis than most, but really, it's a pretty story-driven film, like, for the most part.
I would say the one thing, the pacing of this movie is very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The first, because it's about a 90-minute film.
Yeah,
so
it's short.
Yeah, so the first, like, 60 minutes is all backstory.
Yeah, it's the best Tomb Raider film you've probably seen fucking ever. Straight Tomb Raider,
yeah,
which is nice.
Yeah, it's very Tomb Raider-y. I thought you said Terminator for a second, no. And I was like, wait a second.
You're like, well, the last 30 minutes.
So, like I said before, our cast is Perdita Weeks, who plays Scarlett, Ben Feldman, who plays George, Edwin Hodge, who plays Benji, Francois Civil, who plays Papillon, and Marianne Lambert, who plays Susie.
Damn. These guys are all, like, the perfect name for their characters in mm-hmm. this movie. And then there's a bunch of other no-names, right? That, like, are not actors, really.
Yeah, I left out Zed by accident.
Isn't he the one that survives at
yes,
the end?
Yes, he's the one who lives.
Yeah, and I remember looking it up, and then he had no, like, IMDb or, mm-mm. like, Wikipedia
yeah.
off-link.
Marianne Noel doesn't have anything. Francois has been in one other thing, but...
Oh, really? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a lot of unknowns yeah. for this one. But it works. It works in
yes.
the film's favor, for sure.
Definitely. Ben Feldman, I vaguely recognize, but he hasn't been in anything, like... in the 2010s that I had
he
seen.
He seems like the fodder guy. He's like the guy that's like in the mission room when he's like next to the screen when a missile hits everything.
Yeah.
He's that guy.
So the film budget was $5 million and it made $41.8 million in box office earnings.
Dowdle is profitable here.
Yeah. So, and like... Anthony said this movie was directed by John Eric Dowdle. His brother, so the Dowdle brothers together
yes.
were involved, so.
Yeah, the Dowdle, Dowdle, whatever we couldn't.
Yeah.
These are the Poughkeepsie guys, by the way.
Yeah. Which Anthony had to remind me because I have the, like, shortest term memory ever.
It's funny because I wanted to watch this movie specifically because of the episode we did on the Poughkeepsie tapes. Because this is a later... in their career, so they're obviously much more successful by this point.
Clearly, I like Dowdle more than I give him credit for, because I picked Poughkeepsie Tapes and I picked As Above, So Below.
Of the two found footage that we've done.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. It's the same way with me and Kevin Williamson. I talk shit on Kevin Williamson, but then I've done two of his films. I'm like, oh, these are actually brilliant movies that I love. Mm-hmm. What?
And the film was released on August 29th, 2014.
Ooh.
So, with that, so we don't have a whole lot to go into in terms of production notes. I did want
famous as the Dowdles.
Yeah. Not a whole lot to report. So we are going to go, this is going to be pretty discussion heavy. We want to talk a lot about some of the scenes in the film, and we also, I really wanted to take this as an opportunity to discuss found footage as a genre, because it is one of my favorite genres, and I think it gets so much more shit than it deserves.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, we're going to be covering more found footage throughout the year, and it's better to get knock this out now, because we're going to have to spend some time on the big, the, you know, the productions of those, because they're a different type.
Exactly.
But you'll come across them.
You know, we'll cover that bridge when we get to it.
Yes, exactly. But it's good to know right now. And this is a good example, too, because I feel like it's, like, not necessarily the apex, but it shows how creative you can get with the genre. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of films are this creative. I don't think so, when it comes to found footage, at least. Yeah.
So Anthony is going to take us through some brief history of the connections of this film into real life.
Yes.
Which I did not realize before researching this.
That's pretty cool. All right. So when it comes to history, again, there isn't a whole lot to be said here, but something that's interesting is that there was an actual case of someone vanishing in the catacombs and they dropped their camcorder. Yes. Camcorder, because this shit took place in the 1990s, the early 90s at that. So this is like, he's, you know, filming the fucking Pepsi Boys dancing and then replaces the tape with this shit.
It's a camcorder with actual physical tape inside.
Yeah.
Like, it's not recorded on a disc or, you know, a little tiny, you know, whatever.
It's like, yep, his death tape and then his daughter's birthday. Bam, one fucking thing. The Elusive video, which we weren't able to find, but we did find an ABC documentary with clips of the footage. It's supposed to be some real creepy ass shit. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Did you look at the thingy?
Read on.
288 feet underground, you'll see the man exploring the catacombs. He's the only one there, so it's all first person. Already
so you
fucking
can't,
scary.
So you can't see. So I saw clips of it.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the whole thing. But basically, you just, it's someone who's holding a camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
That's some found footage shit.
Uh-huh. And it's one person. So you don't see anyone else.
Oh. The catacombs kind of freak me out too a little bit. Just because, you know, it's like at the descent or you're just underground.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll talk about it. Oh. No worries.
You catch a glimpse of something and he drops the camcorder and runs off. Which then leads to hours of empty camcorder footage, which is probably the most creepy thing freaking there.
I don't know why. This makes it the creepiest part for me.
Really?
Like, just someone... Just... Well, okay. The person was never found. This guy.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, the additional information here is this man vanished. They only found his camcorder.
That's insane. That's fucking insane.
So, he runs off, and no one sees or hears from him ever again.
Well, in the movie, they're like, oh, there's some weirdos in the catacombs. I would imagine that might be the case in some way.
Yeah, and then also with, like, La Taupe.
Hmm?
The mole. The guy.
Oh, what?
The guy in the movie.
Who is he?
La Taupe.
Which one was La Taupe?
He was the guy who vanished for 2 years, and then they found him.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you can't say the character's name. I don't remember these fucking names.
I don't know the actor's name. What else am I supposed to do?
That description of the character.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Guy who disappeared. It also inspired the 2008 film Catacombs, starring, was it Shannon? Shannon. That's a weird way to spell Shannon.
Sossaman
of A Knight's Tale.
She's the love interest.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah,
she's
super,
awesome.
Like, she's super cute, yes.
She's so fucking cool. Okay, I'm gonna watch this movie now just to see her in there. And then Alicia Moore, otherwise known as the pop star Pink. Pink was in a movie?
With
this girl?
Takes place in the catacombs.
Right, this is interesting.
It's a straight-to-TV movie.
Okay, that makes a little
so
more sense.
So it wasn't, like, a feature, or it wasn't, you know, it didn't have, like, a wide release or anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So it exists.
Hallmark horror. Gotcha.
Kind of, yeah. I think it was actually released on Fearnet.
Interesting.
Which is the horror channel run through Comcast.
Oh, you know what? This is 2008 when the internet's just becoming a thing. So this is probably like where they went like the wrong direction.
Yeah.
What's kind of crazy though, going back to the tape though, like it just being hours of footage of
empty
the catacombs.
Footage.
Yeah, that is kind of creepy. Actually.
And like, but yeah, like I'm just like,
because I mean, that whole space would exist without any recording and just be like whatever. But now you have a documentation of it, and it's just as eerie as it will be in any other circumstance.
Exactly.
It's fucking scary.
So that's what it creeps me on. It's just like empty footage of nothing, and mm-hmm. just like the last thing you see is this guy running for his life. No, it says you see something, mm-hmm. but it doesn't say what. So I think. I don't even know what it was. But.
Interesting. I gotta show you this YouTube channel. I can't remember the name, but it's a lot of creepy shit like that. Where, yeah, very like, because they use footage of people like that they've dropped their fucking recorders or whatever it is. And a lot of it's really gruesome though. So, yeah. Well, they don't show it on the channel because it's YouTube, but they describe it. And it's a similar situation to this where I'm just like, oh, that's freaky. You don't have to show me everything, but now I'm freaked out.
But now I need you to describe it to me.
Oh, it's called Horror Stories.
Oh, okay.
Horror Stories. Yes.
Okay, on YouTube.
Good one. Good one on YouTube.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Just, you know, don't watch it at night.
I've been watching The Fall. I don't know if you ever watched The Fall,
is
but
that,
it's been
I watched the movie. Is that,
No. This is a British television show. It has Gillian Anderson.
Really?
In it, and Jamie Dorner.
Who's Jamie Dorner?
He's the main guy from 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay. Oh, okay. I guess I kind of know him from posters.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing, because I've never seen any of the movies, so mm-hmm. I have no fucking clue. But he is in the TV show, and basically the whole plot is he's a serial killer, and you know mm-hmm. that from the first episode, so I'm not spoiling anything. But it follows, and then Gillian Anderson is the lead detective.
She would be.
Oh, she's so hot in this TV show, dude. It, like, I'm just like...
All right, The Fall. No more. The
okay.
Fall. Let's,
You'll
let's
like
remember
it.
That.
I'll All tell right. you about it later.
But now we're going to learn a little bit about the actual catacombs themselves, Ms.
Yes.
Webster. Can you roll us through this? In case, because you got to know this stuff before going into the film.
Yeah, it's important. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know or haven't seen the movie, the Catacombs of Paris, or simply known as the Catacombs, are underground ossuaries in Paris, France, which hold the remains of at least 6 million people. 6 million!
Jesus, that's a lot of fucking people.
The catacombs were created as a solution to the French's overflowing cemeteries in the late 18th century.
Damn.
Yeah. So it's been open for public visitation since 1874, but the catacombs have seen many, many renovations since then to accommodate the large number of visitors. It is a huge, like, tourist spot.
I bet. You know what? I'm intrigued, but, like, underground just freaks me the fuck out.
So, one of my friends actually studied abroad in Paris for uh-huh. our last quarter of undergrad.
Yes.
And she went to the catacombs.
Really?
Yeah. And she said, like, she said that I would love it, uh-huh. but it would suck because there's some stairs that are involved.
Okay.
And obviously there's no fucking elevator.
Yeah, that's true.
And I have shitty joints, so
oh,
she was
no.
just like, you would die. And I'm like, fuck, but I'll do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I do want to go if I ever have the chance. I would love
to
go.
I want to go too, actually, now. After seeing this film of all things to make me want to visit the fucking catacombs.
But as to be expected, with many mass graves, the catacombs are rumored to be deeply haunted and frequently attract ghost hunters and local troublemakers alike.
Local Parisian troublemakers. Fucking, like, oh, my fucking baguette is...
Well, for example, like, there was... an incident of it wasn't like tagged, but like
graffiti.
Yeah, I don't even know what it was. It was like the more broader term.
Street art.
No. Not graffiti, but like basically people fucked up, like did something.
Oh, like a vandalization.
Yes, vandalism. Thank you, Jesus Christ. they vandalized the catacombs and they were shut down for like 4 months.
Damn.
To, like, fix whatever the fuck they had done.
Oh, that must be some hardcore vandalization right there. That's
right.
4 months of tourist money right there.
Exactly. But what, like, the whole thing that just, like, completely, I'm just like, what did you do? Because, like, there has to be, like, some, like, grave desecration involved if it's shut down for 4 months.
Stupid fucking hooligans, man.
And I'm
this
just
is
like,
history.
I know. Well, also, like, y'all are gonna be haunted for the rest of your lives.
Yeah, they're just, like, but it's so dumb. Like,
yes.
It's just youthful idiocy, I think.
I agree.
That's what I mean when I say... They were probably fucking 8th graders, I bet.
Ghost hunters and local troublemakers alike.
Local Parisian troublemakers are probably the worst motherfuckers in the world.
In 2013, the catacombs were officially considered a museum by the city of Paris.
Alright.
So the catacombs are part of, like, the Parks and Rec, basically.
Interesting. I know the catacombs exclusively from Assassin's Creed Unity, which takes place in Paris. That's it. Yeah, and you go down there for missions, which is the opposite of this film.
Are they fun?
Yeah, they're okay. Yeah, it's Assassin's Creed. You want to be on the rooftops. Those are nice.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But they do Paris really well. But again, yeah, you know, nerd. Sorry, guys.
This is absolutely not relevant, but I found this little tidbit while I was researching, and it's fucking hilarious.
Let's see it.
In 2004, police discovered a fully equipped movie theater in one of the caverns. It was equipped with a giant, cinema screen, seats for an audience, projection equipment, film reels of recent thrillers and film noir classics, a fully stocked bar, and a complete restaurant with tables and chairs. The source of its electrical power and the identity of those responsible remains unknown to this day.
That's so fucking cool. Oh, that's so cool.
I knew you would like this.
I love that people have, I feel like they just gradually, bringing equipment down. They're like, okay, you guys got the seats? You got the seats? Cool, let's put them in, let's go back. And just every week a different thing until they have a fully stocked. So we just want to watch, three films.
How cool is that?
I want to know what the recent thrillers are.
Well, this was in 2004, so it was probably, I don't know, Saw.
Oh, yeah. Imagine watching Saw in the catacombs.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
And then, I also didn't add this, but Airbnb spent, I think, 200,000 pounds as a promotion stunt, basically, to offer people the opportunity to spend the night in the catacombs.
Oh, that's cool, too.
Would you do it?
Yeah.
You would?
I think for money. Well, I don't know.
You wouldn't get paid. You would pay to do it.
Fuck that. I'm not doing that. Although, what's the classic noir that they're watching down there?
I don't know.
Dude.
This is all I could find on it.
I got a Saw and the Maltese Falcon back to back. That's these guys had taste. I bet. Oh, but, with every episode we do, I'm going to go into a little bit of production here.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
This
Anthony.
Is not a lot, guys. But, I mean, let's... Let's get on with it. So again, super fucking short because there isn't anything really special about the production except one key aspect, which is actually really cool. I remember finding this out and losing my shit because I had seen the movie first.
Mm-hmm.
They filmed in the actual fucking catacombs of Paris, which is exactly like what you see in this film. This is not an exaggeration. This is one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's very little use of props and the actors were encouraged to use the environment around them. So, The Descent we covered, it was a full-on set. People
were sounds,
a whole soundboard room, everything like that. This, they actually got permission to shoot in the fucking catacombs, which this is the first one, right, if I remember?
Yes. I think I mentioned it right later. There, yes. Yes. But yes, they are the first film that got permission from the French government. And that is specific because there are other films that have been filmed in the catacombs
but without
permission or the endorsement of the French government.
Fucking cinema verte motherfuckers just thrown in there. But yeah, and then of course another aside here, much like The Descent, one of the actors had extreme claustrophobia. It was Ben Feldman, Mr. George Fodderman himself, had to take multiple breaks during filming and leave the catacombs due to his phobia. I feel like I would be that guy though.
Oh, totally. Also spending every day, all day in the catacombs, especially the legitimate catacombs. I think obviously I was thinking about it because I was there were some parts that obviously they had to bring in, all the writing on the wall, all that stuff. When they had to break through the floor and
obviously
below,
some
that
props in that
right
way.
And then I also figured I was probably all the bones too had to be fake because I don't think they're actually gonna crawl over actual bones.
Oh yeah, those bones, although I know some of the skulls they looked at were from the catacombs.
Yeah from some, what I researched, the ones on the walls were real
yeah.
But the scene where they have to crawl
they're not destroying some fucking 14th century Parisians resting place.
Yeah. They're not disturbing their final resting place just for a movie.
Oh, no, you crush Pierre's skull. Ha ha ha.
Are you proud of yourself?
Yeah, I'm just going to keep throwing the French shit out there.
Oh my gosh.
But hey, guys, that's actually the last of the production. It was really that fast. It's the Dowdles, man. I mean, for Poughkeepsie, I had to go, like, hours and hours of deep diving. And that was back in the days of the old web. When we get to 2014, old web's done. So you can't find out more than this shit.
Yeah, so
there's literally nothing.
There was nothing.
Yeah, they would actually put it on Wikipedia or IMDb or whatever it is.
So yeah, and like, then, you know. In terms of the marketing, PewDiePie promoted the film, but that's all I'm going to say because he's a garbage human and I don't like him.
Who the fuck's PewDiePie?
He is a game, like a live streamer, like Twitch, that
kind of shit. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, he's been around for, like, a super long time.
Really?
Yeah, he's just a shitty human being.
What makes him shitty? I actually want to know this. Shit.
He's super anti-Semitic, and, yeah.
Okay. It's one of those alt-right motherfuckers, I would imagine.
Well, and basically he creates this, like, legion of, like, eighth grade boys who don't know the difference between thinking for themselves yet.
Edgelords.
Like, yeah.
Baby edgelords.
Yes, yeah. Oh. He basically is raising a legion of baby edgelords as we speak.
Okay. I don't know who you are, PewDiePie, but you can go fuck yourself, son.
But he's also, like, super, super popular, so I'm like,
yeah, interesting. Oh, well.
We're not afraid of you.
Yeah. We tuck shit on everybody. It's fine.
But anyway, to promote the film, the film's website put up an interactive game. I tried to play it, but due to Facebook's ever-restricting privacy rules, I couldn't because it required a connection to Facebook. So fuck my life, right?
Ugh, dude, I don't even... Yeah, anytime that it requires Facebook to do anything now, I'm just like, no permissions.
No, it gave me an error because this had happened in 2014, and I'm assuming they didn't keep up to date with, like, all the recent new privacy, like...
Mm-hmm, restrictions.
Yeah. It was significantly, like, it was basically, like... I tried to connect with Facebook, and it just gave me this error where it was like, as above, so below, won't connect because their privacy settings are out of date.
Oh,
so it just wouldn't let me do it. So I couldn't even play, which sucks because I saw someone take, like, screenshots as they were playing it. And basically what it did is it would take your profile photos and put them, like, in the interactive game.
Oh, cool.
And it, like, it put, like, your sins kind of, like, on the wall.
You post too much in August, you dumb shit.
No, it actually, from what I saw, it was... because it has your birthday, it put negative tropes associated with your zodiac sign.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty clever.
Isn't that?
All right.
So, like, that Facebook kind of stuff. So it seemed really, really cool, especially in 2014, but alas, I could not play it despite me really wanting to.
That is, like, the apex of Facebook games, though. 2012 to 14 is, like, everybody was on fucking Candy Crush and all that bullshit.
I know people who still... or, like, Farmville.
Right, but I mean, these all took off at that time, so imagine this one's, like, they have to compete well in order to be with the rest of the fucking crew.
Yeah, and it was just for promotion of the film, so it makes sense that they didn't update it.
Yeah,
no, because, that makes sense. Of course, who would, you know, no one's gonna...
You mean we can't play the promotional one-time video game for a 2014 moderate hit?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Where is this world coming to? Speaking of moderate hit, let's go to the reception of this fucking movie right here, which was really surprising to me. On Rotten Tomatoes, the film has an approval rating of 25% based on at least 72 reviews and an average rating of 4.4 out of 10. The website's critical consensus states... After an intriguing setup that threatens to claw its way out of found footage overkill. As above, so below plummets into cliched mediocrity.
It's harsh.
Yeah, I don't agree at all.
Really? Actually,
not even a little bit.
There are some parts that I agree with, like, and we'll get into it
when
later.
We discuss
we'll get into it.
That makes sense. Well, yeah, but obviously, I don't know, it's weird. You know what? Real quick, I think... This was in peak found footage overkill, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, the time that this film came out, I think, really set it up for failure.
Exactly. I 100% agree for, like, at least critical failure. Because, people were like, it's just another weird fucking thing. But these people have to watch found footage all the time.
It still made over $40 million.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're going to get to, critics, exactly. But then it's that, to me, that whole thing with, like, well, when you remove it from that lens of its release...
Mm-hmm.
Compared to everything else now, I think it's actually really goddamn... It stands out. But critics cited the ending as unspeakably corny.
Which I agree with. I mean, can't argue
corny,
with it.
Yeah.
The ending is my least favorite part of the film. Like, in parts. I will explain later. But for me, mm-hmm. like, the ending was very predictable and very
yeah,
cheesy.
Yeah, I agree. We'll get to it, but I agree. Although I like the resolution in, like, the last scene, the way they do right. that, I think is pretty cool. The film grossed $8.3 million on its opening weekend, finishing in third place. Interesting. As of November 4th, 2014, the film had grossed $21.2 million in North America and $18.9 million in other territories for a total global gross of $40.1 million. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's really not that bad.
No, especially for a technically, all things considered, it is a low-budget horror film.
It for sure is a low-budget fucking movie right there. Well, way to go, Daddle.
So...
Daddle, man, keep making some movies, dude. This fuck, you know, I know Devil happened, but we can forget about that.
We can forgive him for Devil. I can maybe forgive him for Quarantine.
Yeah, it's just Wreck existed is the only issue I think with Quarantine for me.
Well, yeah,
because Wreck is like that much fucking better. I watched them both back to back. Well, after Poughkeepsie, I actually watched them both. I had to.
Well, here's the thing: is like Wreck is the original.
Yeah, exactly.
And so by just doing a play-by-play reshoot in English mm-hmm. for Quarantine, I was just like, "This ain't it."
And but... Wreck is a little more visceral too. It's not as flashy, I think, as Quarantine is.
I don't know.
Yeah, but then with this movie, this guy's got flash. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess most found footage films are a little grimy, so having a little bit of pizzazz to it is something I appreciate.
Yeah.
But speaking of found footage. Can you get us into a little basis here for our next few, years of doing this podcast? Obviously.
Right. Settle in, fuckers. Okay, so we're going to talk about found footage as a genre and sort of its evolution a little bit.
Ooh.
So.
You know, I love this shit. Keep going.
Found footage is a horror film subgenre where most of, if not all of the film is shown through quote-unquote found footage. So, hence the name.
That makes sense.
This is not to be confused with a mockumentary, which we will be touching on later.
I do love mockumentaries.
I know.
I really do.
The events of the film are seen through the perspective of a recording device of some kind, and the plot typically requires the content of the film to be recorded, which mm-hmm. is to say, it makes no sense for the human centipede to be found footage, but it does make sense that Paranormal Activity is found footage, because the plot revolves around a couple trying to catch the haunting going on in their home.
All the later Paranormal Activities, they are stretching. they're like, well, you know, I look at the baby.
I am going to start talking shit about Paranormal Activity at some point.
Oh.
But so that it has to make sense for the plot. In
yeah.
the sense, the medium of shooting sort of makes it its own character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me anyway. Found footage films typically utilize one or more of four cinematic techniques. First-person perspective, mockumentary, news footage, or surveillance footage. According to an analysis of 500 found footage films conducted by Found Footage Critic.
Interesting.
So it's really cool that I was able to find this because it really encapsulates the four aspects that mm-hmm. make a found footage film.
No, this is actually really good information.
Yeah.
I feel like certain franchises in found footage rely on literally like two of these.
Exactly.
So everything else is, yeah.
The first person perspective being most notably.
Yeah.
And or like surveillance.
Yeah, those are the common ones. Although I do like news footage being integrated into these things. I think that adds a lot.
This is actually a great place for me to interject. News footage is so creepy to me. So when mm-hmm. I was a child, I was really into alien movies.
Really?
Obsessed.
Like Ridley Scott alien movies or just general alien films?
General alien films.
Okay.
I was like terrified of aliens, and so I watched a lot of like Signs was one of the first scary movies I saw. Of course, when this came out, when Signs came out, I was really, really young. So I remember seeing it when I had to have been 9.
Baby.
Yeah. I was 9, I think, the first time I saw it, and I fucking screamed.
Dude, I saw Signs in theaters also.
Yeah. No, it terrified me.
I loved it.
Now, obviously, I have a different, you know, it's different, but fucking M. Night.
One of my friends actually, interestingly enough, like 2 days ago said, like, oh, I watched Signs for the first time in years, and I'm like, oh, he's like, it doesn't hold up. I'm like, no.
I know. I can't rewatch it now. Now that I know that, I can't rewatch it because, like, it still is, like, fucking awesome in my head.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but, he could be wrong. Who knows? Right. I'll check it out.
But found footage, or point is, alien films scared the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
There is this found footage fake news thing, news footage film called Without Warning.
Interesting.
And it is, I don't know what year it was. I'm going to have to Google it. It was like in the 80s, I think, because it's super dated. Super dated.
An 80s found footage film about aliens sounds so fucking cool. That sounds cool.
Dude.
Keep going.
Okay. So wait. So the whole film is shot like a newscast.
Mm-hmm.
So like the film opens with like a fake like soap opera and then it cuts in as like a news broadcast. It's very War of the Worldsy. It's like
super, that's creative.
Yeah, it's super creative. I fucking love it. I still watch it, even though I'm like, this is so dated.
Can we do this one at some point? Because I'm so down for that. That's a really cool premise.
Yeah, it's super, super cool. But so I guess, you know, hold on to your horses because we might have to do this next.
We might have to actually do this. I mean, if we're going to talk about like some real creative found footage, that shit is dope.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. But yeah, so I'll tell you more about it later. But yeah, it's a really cool film. That's all I had.
Good. Guys, please, I learned new information here. Yes.
So basically, to put it in perspective, mockumentaries walked so found footage could run.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, honestly.
Mockumentaries are exactly what they sound like, fake documentaries.
Poughkeepsie tapes.
Yeah, exactly. The way I categorize them is found footage and mockumentaries are twins. They both have the same parts, but their personalities are different. Mm-hmm. Two sides of the same coin. Mockumentaries are mostly comedic or political in nature, while found footage exists mainly within the horror genre. There are, of course, exceptions to the rule, Cannibal Holocaust for mockumentary and Project X for found footage, respectively.
Worst fucking examples.
Yeah.
One we'll never watch, and then Project X, I have no interest in ever watching.
I accidentally watched it thinking it was a horror film.
Really?
Yes.
You're like, the only horror is how horrible my experience is watching this fucking film.
Like, I wanted, like, the whole, like, I was like, oh, found footage. Like, okay, they're having a party, and then I'm like, okay, and then they all start dying.
Yeah.
Right? And nothing, it didn't happen, and I just sat there for, like, an hour, just
like oh.
This is the worst thing ever.
Are they just discovering themselves, I guess? What the fuck's going on?
I know. Like, I'm just like, and plus, like, growing up, no one knows anyone like that. Like, no one, like...
I don't know. Dude, and it's Project X sounds like a good scary movie name.
Exactly.
It actually sounds like a good name. I know, I can see in your eyes right now. You were misled.
I was lied to. But the term mockumentary was coined by...
Rob Reiner. Yeah, we're going to cover one of his movies soon.
We are?
In two movies. Oh, next week. You guys don't know what movie we're covering, but it's a Rob Reiner film.
Oh! Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. I can cut this out.
No, it's fine. Give him a little hint. It's all good.
So he directed This Is Spinal Tap, which is it's a mockumentary about a fake metal band.
Hilarious.
And it's hilarious. My mom actually really likes it, which is weird.
A lot of people from that era love that movie.
Which is weird, because my mom hates, comedy.
Yeah. That's interesting.
But he coined it during the interview during promotions for the film, and it kind of just took off from there.
Oh, interesting. Okay, all right. Cool.
Yeah. So, a little bit more history of found footage. So, the Blair Witch Project, 1999, popularized the genre and revitalized it after the horrific failure of Cannibal Holocaust in 1980.
Dude, that's 19 years right there.
Yeah. Not to say that it was a bad movie, which it is, but the controversy behind it sort of ruined found footage for the decades to follow.
I can definitely see that.
Yep. Yeah. Plus, slashers were on the rise during this time period anyway. Mm-hmm. The AV Club put it perfectly when they said that found footage as a genre is to the thousands and 2000s and 10s.
Mm-hmm. The aughts.
As slashers were to the 80s.
Yeah. No, that makes a total amount of sense. Right,
because, you see that some really, really good films and some are totally run into the ground. Paranormal Activity franchise, I'm looking at you. So basically,
they all become what they don't want to become. The worst enemies.
I love the comparison to slashers in this particular context, because in the 80s, like we talked about this a couple weeks ago, slashers were so overdone, they were run into the ground, they had too many sequels.
Yeah.
So,
franchise. Yeah,
like the franchises became so huge and, they were just, obnoxious.
Obnoxious.
So, Friday the 13th, I would argue, the franchise sort of just,
Yeah.
Or, not Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the ones I feel had the biggest tanks of all of
them. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I said Friday the 13th. But yeah, definitely Nightmare on Elm Street. Because, like, for me, I can't even tolerate most of the sequels for Nightmare on Elm Street.
No, I can't either,
but
dude.
For Friday the 13th, I'm fine.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're schlock, but you accept that they're schlock. Like, Freddy tries too hard not to be schlock, and then he's too schlocky.
And also, Robert Englund is, like, my dude.
Rock on, that's true. So what you're saying is the found footage genre needs its screen.
Yes,
it needs its scream right now. Get on it, writers.
Yeah, definitely. I would. I think fan footage is also just like a great genre to exist right now, considering all the technology that we have and like how easy it is to do found footage.
Yeah, it's much easier. That's a good point. Good point.
So I don't know, but that's just. I just think that we'd have the opportunity to get some really, really great found footage. However. The aughts are coming up behind us.
Yeah,
we are barreling into 2019, which means this is our last teen year before we hit the 20s.
You know what, though? If we look at the timeline, Scream, 1978. Not Scream, Halloween, 1978. It took Scream until 1996. So Paranormal Activity was what, 2007?
I wouldn't say Paranormal Activity is the... I would say the Blair Witch Project.
Fuck. All right, no, then we're lost.
We're
it's
fucked.
Done. We lost. We lost our chance, guys. He could have made one Scream. Dowdle, you motherfucker. You had to make Devil, huh?
Yeah, right.
We're just fucking with him.
Anyway, so the popularity for found footage is known outside of horror on the big screen as well on the little screen. TV shows like American Horror Story will feature found footage type episodes to shake up the format of the show for an episode.
Oh, that's cool.
So a lot of TV shows will do that, where the whole episode is done in a found footage format, which I think is really cool.
Cause that's
I think
smart.
They're fun. Mm-hmm. Found footage YouTube series also became immensely popular in the early 2000s, many focusing... on the lore of Slenderman through series like Marble Hornets.
Man, we gotta cover the Slenderman guy at some point.
So I actually watched Marble Hornets.
What is
it? This is, I shit you not. So I started watching Marble Hornets. I was in high school. So at this point, it was from 2003 to 2000. No, it was 2008 to 2014. It was 5 years.
Interesting. Wow. So you were like in the prime audience for this stuff.
Yes. So it was from 2008 to 2014. I was in high, so it was from 8th grade. For me, it was from 8th grade to my freshman year of college. And I watched it like smack dab in the middle of high school, so I had a bit of sophomore. Anyway, so I watched this. Oh, it was my junior year. I'll tell you why I know this. Because I started watching it, and then this is when I was also in ASB, so I wasn't sleeping because I was on campus. So I would like work, or I'd be doing ASB stuff until like 11. I'd come home and do homework, go to sleep at like 1.
Yeah, like that sounds like high school.
Yeah. So I was up super, super late. I wasn't sleeping. I was anxious. Like, this is like the when my anxiety is first taking off into like its full-fledged adulthood.
And your body's like, I need rest. I need rest. What are you doing? I need rest.
Yeah, and I was super manic, basically. Yeah. And I had, this is when I had my first like manic episode. But I was it was while I was watching Marble Hornets. So I didn't sleep for 2 days because I was convinced I was getting stalked by Slenderman. And I didn't kill anyone.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, exactly. Even with all those ailments, you're like, huh, you know, guess what? Not a psychopath. Not a psychopath.
I'm not killing anyone. That's awesome. Which is my nod to the chicks.
To the chicks, yeah.
Fucking killed someone or tried to kill their best friend, which is ridiculous. But whatever. Dude. Point is Marble Hornets was really freaky because they also utilized the format in such a way that it felt so real. Like, things would happen on the video, or in the videos, and then the reflection, the effects would be reflected on the profile that the videos were hosted on.
Oh.
So, like, it's, okay. Like, there was this one
There's
point
a
where
story,
he,
yeah.
Yeah, there was one point when, like, he got, like, abducted, and, like, his YouTube profile was completely blacked out, and, like, there was, like, creepy videos that got uploaded. Like, it was very intense.
Dude, to follow it in real time sounds like the way to do it. That's badass.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Oh, I like that.
So, but yeah, so those exist, and people really utilized found footage, obviously, for those kinds of formats, especially through a channel like YouTube.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Cool. fucking cool. Yeah. Hell yeah, I gotta check out this marble hornets. Or something on it. That's interesting.
Yeah, so frequent critiques of found footage usually entail that it is inherently lazy horror involved in the production of these films. So...
I don't agree.
Well, there's a lot of criticism when it comes to found footage that, you know, people don't want to watch a character's feet run for 90 minutes. Because, like, if you're running, you're not pointing ahead, you're pointing at your feet. Which is a valid critique and something I will sometimes find myself thinking if it's done poorly.
If it's done poorly, that makes sense.
If it's in poorly produced found footage films, I understand.
Well, you know, that goes back to our thing with, even we were talking about slashers before, lazy directors taking the wrong lessons.
Yes.
That's an absolute threat when it comes to making a found footage film. Oh, totally.
But yeah, so it's a valid critique because I understand, like, in some of the shittier found footage films, it's like... If it doesn't make sense or if it's not logistical, like, I understand if anyone understands, like, not having that suspension of disbelief, oh, yeah, believe it's me. Definitely, I understand.
Senorita Webster over here. Yep, that's true.
But for example, some of these tropes that we see that some people have issues with, so like low batteries to increase tension, night vision to reduce vision, anything else that it can obscure our vision as viewers. These tropes are used to increase tension because we can't see instead of the plot itself.
You know, the one that I really hate is night vision.
Yeah.
I think it's the stupidest fucking plot point.
Which is ridiculous considering that you just watched Quarantine.
Yeah.
And the whole thing's in night vision.
Well, it wasn't as abused as much in Rec.
Yes, it wasn't in Rec. In Quarantine, it was. Like, half of the film was in night vision.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like night vision because it's inherently creepy.
Nah, it doesn't scare me. It just brings me out because it ruins whatever palette the film had built to that point by blinding it in fucking night vision. You should be scared. The only time night vision to me was done well was in Sicario, which is not even a horror film.
All right.
Yeah.
That is my
strong stance for the episode right there.
All right. So yeah, that's pretty much it for found footage. This is just a rudimentary introduction to the genre. We're gonna talk a little bit about it later when we get into our discussion section. But it is a genre that is near and dear to my heart. It is my favorite subgenre of horror by far. So
yeah, it's one of my favorites. I'd still slashers are my thing. But yeah. Found footage is up there. I have a love of found footage.
See, for me, it's torture porn and found footage are my top two.
Really?
Subgenres. I love torture porn. I don't. Interesting. It freaks me out, but so it's weird for me to even say that I like it. It's like
your spicy food.
Yeah. No, I don't know, like Saw and like Hostel, Jacob's Ladder, all that shit. I'm just like.
Interesting. Yeah, those are my least favorite. It's weird. although I like High Tension, which I feel like is a torture porny style film.
No.
No? You wouldn't put it there?
No.
It's just really graphic.
Parts of it are graphic, but but this is like also where you get into the conversations about like body horror and not body horror. Mm-hmm. I would argue that High Tension is not, it's not torture porn because the focus of the film does not center around the dismemberment, torture, etc. of another person. Oh,
that makes a lot of sense, actually. Okay. I can dig that.
It's a very graphic film, but it's not about...
It's not that type of game they're playing. It really isn't. Yeah, no. All right. I concede. That's actually a really good point.
See? I'm always right.
Yeah. I don't know about that. All right.
No. So I wanted also to go into some noteworthy film moments. Before I go into mine, I wanted to see if you, Mr. Fuentes, had any noteworthy film moments in As Above, So Below.
Definitely the car scene.
Really?
I fucking love that scene.
Yeah? Because when they just come around the corner and the car is engulfed in flames.
Because the way that was shot to me was awesome because you're in a film that they've had a pretty consistent, you know, the catacombs. It's scary in one way, the claustrophobic, dark, kind of dank way. And then they give you this image that you're used to seeing in a street with an open air area.
Yeah.
And it leads you into it, which I think is fucking insane.
Yeah. It also takes place in this very open...
Yeah, open like, spot.
Open chamber.
Mm-hmm. And then just the way that they filmed that scene and then having a personal connection with it, with the... What's the game? It's Piplon or Piplion?
Papillion.
Papillion. Yeah, that guy. What was it? It's his brother or something, right?
I think it's his mom or something.
No, it's a dude.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. But it doesn't go into it, but basically, like, it alludes to him being in an accident at some point because of the burns on his hands in the beginning of the film.
And then he's responsible for it.
That he feels responsible for.
Yes, and well, then his death is a result of him not acknowledging that mm-hmm. and saying it wasn't my fault. So right. he went against it. To me, mm-hmm. that was a brilliant, because it makes you understand why they're there in one scene. It gives you a really good death.
Yeah.
It gives you some dope special effects, and then you don't know what's going to happen afterwards because yeah. something like that was not feasible in any prior scenes.
Yeah, that was one of mine too. I put actually Susie's, Benji's, and Papillon's death as like part of like all of them were so well done, mm-hmm. and they were one right after the other. Like they yeah. were back to back to back death.
Well, see that's I think I can see where the critics were, what their look at this was like, because it is an hour of story with very little like. Death and mm-hmm. gruesomeness, whatever it is, and then it all hits
three
you.
Three people are dead in the span of like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, it all hits you. And I guess if you don't like death in your horror movies, you would find a criticism with that.
I mean, but... how dare you?
Yeah.
No, I agree. I liked his death too. And I don't know if this made it into my outline, but we kind of touch on it in the discussion questions. But, how he died is important to Dante's Inferno.
I've read that. I didn't get the exact gist of it, though, because I skimmed through it, but yes.
Okay, so he's in the eighth circle of hell.
Mm-hmm.
You're destined to die buried headfirst.
Mm, that's right, and that's how he gets taken down. Out, yep.
And that's how he gets taken down, mm-hmm. which sucks.
After being burned.
Well, he I don't think he actually got pulled into he got pulled into it at the same time that it just sort of, collapsed. Like, all collapsed in on itself, like a black hole.
Interesting. He had to have been a little burned.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was warm. But, it happened so quick, so that was interesting. I for some reason, I thought he lived. Which he definitely doesn't, but...
I like how the guy that lives, though, is like, he has, like, no lines.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like a fodder guy. He's the red shirt. He's literally wearing a red shirt, isn't he?
Yeah, but he doesn't die.
No, I know, that's cool. Because he's the most obvious one to get killed in all these scenes.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm. Like, I agree.
That's a good play on that.
Yeah, because a lot of this film requires a particular attention to detail, because... I don't know, because, like, I can see why there are critiques on this film for mm-hmm. certain reasons. Like, some things, like, there's a lot of exposition in this film to sort of...
A little too much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. where it kind of, like, lays everything out mm-hmm. Too much. But then there's other parts that it assumes you should know.
Yeah.
It assumes you to put these pieces... So, like, some things it, like, spoon-feeds you, mm-hmm. and then other times it just, like, throws it at you, and it's just like, figure it out, bitch.
I feel like, yeah, no, yeah exactly. It's like, we've fed you enough, okay, now feed yourself. What? Why? Hold on, you haven't taught me how to use the spoon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
Your notable film moments for this one. Because yeah. that, to me, is, like, the big... So, jumping off right there.
For me, actually, it happened far, far sooner. Mm-hmm. For me, one of the big jumping off points was when they used the rose key to translate Nicholas Flamel's headstone. Mm-hmm. And she takes it down and she, like, she does all this alchemy bullshit. Where yeah. she, like, it's very, like, yes, National Treasure that. Meets Tomb Raider.
It is. But you know what? And filmed in a found footage lens, it's actually really fucking cool.
It was
it's
super
really cool.
Because it also, like, there was a realism to it that I really appreciated yeah. because the whole time, like, George was just like, we're gonna get caught. Can mm-hmm. we wrap this up?
Like, yes.
Like, there's that realism where he, at least as a character, is very aware how mm-hmm. ridiculous all of this sounds. And I think that's what kind of lends it to the creepy nature of when they're in the catacombs.
Yeah.
Because it's rooted so deeply in, like, realism and real life that, like...
Interesting.
When it become,
yeah.
when it gets scary...
Fantastical.
Yeah. It's kind of jarring. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
You know, that just brought me to a thing I had right here. She is a caricature. She is literally, like, Lara Croft, mm-hmm. like, fucking Indiana Jones put in one... But she's forced to be around a bunch of real people with yeah. real problems in a hellish situation.
Yeah.
So that's a good scene that gives you that dynamic right there. Because she is acting like a Nicolas Cage. Like, oh, no, we have the thing, and this is Abraham Lincoln. Blah, blah, blah. And then this guy's like, hey, listen, this is kind of not legal. We should really do something about this. Like,
yeah.
movies try to do that, and they're like, you know, it's always the fucking fodder character.
Yeah.
That's just like, I don't know about this, guys. But this guy's
the
main guy.
Yeah, he's ultimately, like, but those guys, those fodder Predator guys in, like, National Treasure, it's Riley. Like, that kind of thing, where, like, they eventually fall into it. Mm-hmm. Like, they eventually go with the whole thing. But, like, George is consistently, like, what are you saying? I'm not jumping down this hole. Mm-hmm. What?
And then when he gives an answer, it's just, like, it's not, like, out of his ass. He's just, like... Okay, I'm finally, I think we can really get out of here if we do this. Like please. Yes, please, exactly.
Yeah.
Good character, good interest, okay.
Yeah, so that's my stance anyway. But
I can accept that scene as
so a good I enjoy right that scene, yes. And then it also is what brings them, like, she does the weird math, and she, like, does the whole, like, the burning of the back of his tombstone.
She definitely has that Jeff Goldblum reasoning. She's like, pottery for pot smoking, mine smoked back in the day, reefer madness came out in 1939, was it 1931? Oh my god, it's the Nazis. It's the fucking Nazis.
I can't
breathe.
That was perfect.
Yes. Fuck. All improv, baby. That's this movie in a fucking nutshell.
Oh my god, that is hilarious. Oh my Christ, there's tears in my eyes. Anyway.
Okay, let's get back to this.
Oh god, I can never live up to that. That's perfect.
Podcast over, no discussion needed.
And that's our episode for the week. Sorry, thank you guys. For listening,
everyone. We had to bring back Jeff Goldblum in this fucking mix.
Oh, that's funny as fuck. But anyway, the other scene that I did want to sort of draw attention to was when they first get turned around and the tunnel is kind of starting to mess with their perception of reality. Mm-hmm. So when they go through the tunnel of bones, yes. And Benji, like, gets stuck and he freaks out and it causes the tunnel to collapse. Mm-hmm. And you think they get out on the other side of the tunnel, like, great, like, good to go, like, just keep moving forward. When really they're back exactly where they were before to force them to go through the creepy tunnel that no one goes into.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool. Fucking Benji.
I know. It stuck out to me because this is where things start to take that supernatural turn. Because, like I said, until this point, everything is incredibly rooted in realism.
That's a good point.
And then this is where things, like, they're, like, especially, I can only imagine, because I don't remember the first time I watched this film. Mm-hmm. But, I can only imagine for the first time someone watching it and not really knowing what it's about.
Yeah, same. That was my experience.
Like, to just be like, oh, shit. Like, you know, this is the kind of film this is. You know?
That was my thought. Because to me, it was straight up just like, oh, I expected, like, creatures and things like that. But this is psychological.
It's magic.
Yes.
Like, there's, like, a magicness to it. But
horror, too. Mm-hmm. Which, like, usually this is played for adventure, you know? And this is not adventure. This is, like... terror.
This is terrifying for sure. But yeah, so that's what I really liked about that scene, because it did set it up for the mystical sort of mystical, not magical, mystical, the mystical aspect of it, because also a lot of this is rooted in alchemy and all that stuff. So
interesting.
But for me, another scene was Susie, Benji, and Papillon's death. Susie, like, fucked me up. I was freaked out.
Which one was Susie's death?
This is when she gets her head bashed into the cement.
Oh, yeah, by the guy. What's his face again?
La Taupe. Yeah, you visibly, like, just cringe, so.
Yeah.
But no, like, she gets... her death is not pretty.
No,
basically, it's gruesome. Yeah, Papillon, La Taupe is standing in a corner and she goes to, like, comfort him or whatever, and he goes apeshit and basically just grabs her and smashes her face into the ground until she's dead.
And it's crazy because she, like, is paying, they're basically paying for allowing him to die again. And that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, and then they're like, well, he was okay last time, so hey, buddy, are you good? And then fucking visceral ass. Maniac death.
But then right he's there. Gone.
Yeah, then he's no death. Well, I mean, they basically...
he's gone for the rest of the film.
They basically made their stance. We're not going to save him.
Yeah.
And so he's useless after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true. There's a point where they're just like, we have to move forward, you know?
And we have no choice.
They have to do the same thing to Susie because Papillon is just, like, freaking out because, that's his girlfriend. And
they physically can't go back either. Mm-mm-mm. Like, it's all collapsing behind them 100%.
Yeah, so they have to keep moving forward. But, yeah, and it's just really, really intense. And then right after that is when Benji dies.
Yeah, but he gets sucked in, right?
No.
Oh, who got sucked in?
Papillon.
Oh, Papillon did, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because he's the one who has the scars on his hands.
No, I'm talking about the blood. What? Where they get grabbed by the hands and the little blood pool below them.
That was Scarlet heading back after she got, or heading back the way she came after George had his throat bit by mm-hmm. one of the little rock demons.
Well, yeah, but somebody got pulled in before that.
No.
Didn't they?
No, she did, but she got out of it.
Oh, all right. I'm losing my mind then.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
No. Wow.
No. Fucked up.
Benji's the one who, it's the one that kind
Benji
of...
Benji fell.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's
Benji
the one who
fell.
Got pushed by a cultist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that one cultist that keeps showing up.
Yeah.
She's actually creepy as fuck.
She's super creepy. The one thing, but she also is, like, stereotypically creepy. Mm-hmm. And then also his death sort of relies on... those found footage tropes that we were talking about
yeah.
earlier.
Well, he's the one who notices her, right? The first time?
The first time.
Yes.
And then also he, when they're in the beginning part. Yes, mm-hmm. in the nightclub when she's walking out and then she heads into some weird tunnel. And then we see her again when they're going into the tunnel initially for the first time yeah. and Papillon's just like, there are some weirdos down here.
She's doing the ritual.
She's doing the rituals. Mm-hmm. But he keeps the camera on them and then she turns and makes like focused eye contact with the camera and he's just like, ugh, and like leaves. And then we see her again deeper in the caves with yeah. all of that. And you see her, like, there's a point when he's setting up the ropes to come down. Mm-hmm. And then in the yeah. distance, you see her just walk by. And then
he's unaware of this.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And he's totally unaware. And I'm just like, fuck, we're doing this. We're doing this. Okay. And then he moves the camera a little bit and it moves us away from the hallway so we can't mm-hmm. see what's going on. And it relies on us knowing that when he moves the camera back, she's going to be right behind him. And she is.
Yep.
And she pushes him down the hall and he's dead.
Yeah. I like that too because it cuts to everybody just like, well, where's George? And then, or was it
Benji?
Benji. Where's Benji? And he goes,
And then, of course, Scarlet flips her shit, and
yeah.
then that's Papillon's turn to be like, we gotta keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep going, and then the whole scene with Papillon, which we already
yeah,
discussed, with the car getting sucked in, like, headfirst underground, which, yikes, because his legs are moving, so he's, like, alive, but, like, not alive for very long.
Yeah, it's the most non-Wile E. Coyote version of that special effect, because his legs are, like, dead.
Yeah, it's also, like, at least they died instantly, everyone else.
Yeah, he's underground with, like, to his shins, basically.
It was, like, to his hips, but yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't see a lot of dangling, though. It looked like he was going straight up.
I mean, yeah, it was from, like, his hips, though, from, like... Or, like, yeah, from, like, here up.
Mm-hmm.
So, they couldn't pull him out.
Yeah,
but, like,
no, he was done.
But he also couldn't, like, bend forward or backwards, you know?
Oh, that's a creepy one. Yeah,
yeah,
that's,
exactly.
That's a crazy-ass fucking death.
But then, so those are it pretty much for my, like, most notable scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But full disclosure, I loved one thing and one thing only about the ending, and that was them coming up upside down on the Notre Dame.
Yes. The as above, so below.
Like
the reason for the name of this fucking
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it was really trippy. Everything else I pretty much hated, though. Like, how she suddenly gets possessed with the Philosopher's Stone
yeah.
powers. That was weak as fuck. And it should be a physical thing, which is confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And how did she suddenly just know how to solve all
save
this
it.
Shit?
Yeah.
How the fuck did the tunnel jump not kill them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a lot, like, at the end where it was like...
We need to wrap this movie up.
It was confusing.
Yeah.
And it was very rapid. Yeah. It was kind of like they were just like... Very Stephen King, like, they had a really fucking awesome setup, and then they got to the end, and
yeah.
they were just like, okay, we're done.
Well, to me, it was weird, because I liked that she found a solution, but at the same time, it was like, oh, she's actually solving way more than she has any right to with the information she has. She should not be healing George. Like, there's no way in her mind she's like, oh, I got it. Like, that actually, he should be dying. Everybody else fucking died. He
well,
should
also,
be dead.
He got, where he got bit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he should be way dead.
He should be way dead. I mean, I understand, like, everybody has to basically acknowledge their sins and whatever it is to get out, that whole philosophy behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, her acknowledging it does not give her powers to heal George. I don't see where the line
well,
connected
it's
there.
It's because she becomes the Philosopher's Stone.
Oh.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like, in terms of, like, she becomes, like... She, because she's the one who put the stone back,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, she becomes the Philosopher's Stone, I guess.
I mean, was that really that set up before? Because I feel like they gave us a lot of jargon, and then it was like, oh, and then the one thing you may have heard early, this is what's going to happen.
I don't know. But that's the confusion at the end of the film that I think probably put a lot of people off.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you get to the end and you're just like, what the fuck did I just watch? Yeah. How did they get out of that? But it's also so fast-paced, it's kind of at breakneck speeds that you don't have time to really process it until the movie's over and you're just like, well.
It's like 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
4 minutes of her just like.
Running. Yeah.
I did it. Oh, a barrier. Sorry, Papa. Boom.
Yeah. Precisely. Sorry, Papa.
But I do like them escaping. And when they finally get out and it's like, we can breathe again. Like, I felt as a person watching it, like, I can breathe again.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the fucking other guy. I forget his name again.
Zed?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, him just being like, listen, that was insane. I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to bother trying to resolve this shit with you guys. I lost all my friends.
They all hugged each other, and then he just walked away.
Yes.
And I'm just like, wow.
That was dope. That was actually pretty dope. I dug that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they try to lay it on all sentimental, most of these types of movies. And then this time he's like, no, dude, we're exhausted. Let's get the fuck out of here.
And also, I barely know you. Like, they all just, like, basically trauma bonded. And then they were like, all right, bye.
He's like an actual red shirt that survives. Yeah. Like, he's straight up just like, I really had no plot in this, guys. So my plot ends here. Bye-bye.
Fades off into the distance.
Yes.
No, that and also just, I think it was also just like, I gotta go talk to my kid.
Yes. I just learned something today, guys. I need to be a dad now. Oh, that's crazy.
So, but yeah, that's pretty much it for, you know, discussions about the film. Unless there was something else noteworthy about that you wanted to bring up.
In terms of the scenes, no.
No. Okay. Cool. No,
I'm good.
So let's dive into some discussion questions.
All right. Cool. What you got?
So, I mean, first things first, your general consensus on the film.
Regardless of the stupid resolution, I actually really like the film a lot. I mean, it falls in that trap of found footage where, again, they're so good until they have to end it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, oh, okay, this is the answer we've been looking for this whole time that probably the audience could figure out. Except this time they put it with so much jargon and, like occult stuff, all that stuff. And then it was like, okay, there's no way they're going to figure this one out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I loved it. I think it was a really, again, the best Tomb Raider film you'll ever watch. and pretty terrifying at some points, legitimately. And the catacombs is a really cool set.
It's a great place to have a horror film.
Like as you said before, found footage relies on like the environment to be part of the, you know, the house, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's all part of, it's a character.
Yeah.
And the catacombs as a character is a unique fucking character. I mean, totally. You have weirdos down there,
mm-hmm.
and then you have history down there and lore.
And you'd also just the fucking terrifying knowledge that 6 million bodies are down there.
Yes. And that it's actually filmed in the catacombs is brilliant, because if I didn't know that, which I didn't when watching it, I'm like, this is a really good approximation of the catacombs. They really encapsulated what I thought they looked. Oh, they look like that because it's actually shot there. Holy shit. Like,
yeah.
It's well done. I think it is one of the better found footage films. It's one of Dowdle's best ones, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think out of Poughkeepsie Tapes, this one, and like Quarantine.
Yeah.
I think. No, I'm still going to Poughkeepsie.
I would put Poughkeepsie above this one for sure, except. You guys gotta have a taste for it.
You can see Poughkeepsie without fucking up anymore.
Yeah, because you keep saying it. I'm just following through now. And I got a lot of shit for that. So yes.
But for a question for you, I actually specifically wrote for you.
Mm.
Critically, this film bombed. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think we said it earlier. Oversaturation of the market at the time of its release. A lot of these things were pretty samey. I mean, it has the flow of a found footage film. And it really, to me, is critics have to watch these all the time. They do.
Mm-hmm.
In order to do their job. Most people are not going to watch found footage to the extent that these guys do.
Yeah.
You'll probably watch like a handful a year, maybe. If you're going to pick a handful, you can pick this and enjoy it.
Right.
But if you're watching every single one that got released in the apex of the found footage genre, by the time you get to this one, you just innately hate found footage. You just do. It's slasher. It's the same bullshit. Because you could appreciate Friday the 13th at the individual levels now. But as they kept coming out, it's like, oh, another fucking Jason movie. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I really think it was just the released at the wrong time. It was totally, it could have released, I think, a little later and had probably a better reception.
I think also it was, one of the things that I think how it could have done better if it was advertised as an adventure horror.
Yeah, that's true too.
Because, like, I feel like they included so much lore and so much history into it that if you were going into it just wanting it to be a scary movie, you were going to be like, I don't need all this shit. Even though for me, I love that. So, like, I, like, ate that shit up. I was just like, I love this. But I think also part of it had to do with the, like, the time. I really, I do agree. But then also what we were talking about earlier about, like, being spoon-fed and then just, like, left to figure out the rest of it by ourselves. So that was kind of, like, kind of whiplashy.
Whiplashy. Good way of putting it. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Where they're just like, we're going to give you all, we're going to spell all of this out perfectly for you. And then the rest of it, it's just like, figure it out.
Yep.
You know?
Although the resolution of them having to, like, acknowledge their sins and stuff, I feel like not giving us that answer right away and having us figure it out alongside them was pretty good. That's a pretty good way of putting that resolution there.
Yeah, and parts of it were cool, and then also parts of it, in my research anyway, because I found this, people found that the film had too much exposition in some parts, where others said it felt like a history adventure film, like what I was saying.
Yes, absolutely.
But it also required a previous knowledge of Dante's Inferno or alchemy. And I was just wondering if you kind of saw that. Because, like, for me, I knew a lot of this already because one of my favorite animes of all time is Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Yeah, no, I know. Which I still haven't watched. I know. I'm the worst. I'm the worst.
Ring your fucking neck.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so. But, yeah, so I had some previous knowledge, and then I also, just me being me, I'm familiar with Dante's Inferno and shit like that.
Yeah, see, I'm not actually too familiar with Dante's Inferno. So without that knowledge base, I think I was able to appreciate it a little more because I was learning things with everybody else. So I didn't have that, you know, that, like, expectation or basis behind it. There's no foundation. To me, it makes the story a lot more simple. It's very much like, well, now you're going into your version of hell and you're all going to pay for it.
Okay.
In your way. And that's all you need to know.
Right. And I agree. That is all you need to know. But then there's the little, like, historical
nuggets.
It's
extra. Yes. Yeah. It's extra, like, reinforced for people who are into that. They have more to work with. And it's still good in that way.
I agree.
Which is nice. Like, it has the benefit of satisfying two audiences, which most films don't have that, I don't think. I mean, if you like it, obviously. You might not like it. But
no,
listeners.
I enjoyed it. I wish, like, I don't know, because it was kind of, like, towing the line between, like, being a history adventure and being a horror film in some parts. So I kind of wish that it had leaned more intensely to either side, because it left me wanting some more horror, and it also left me wanting some more history.
You know what, though? For me, I've not ever really been too satisfied with a history-focused film since, like, The Mummy with Brendan Fraser. Fucking National Treasure, don't give a shit. Like,
really?
I don't really care that much. But, like, lots of movies like that where it's just like, we're gonna go on any Tomb Raider, anything like that. It's just like, okay, yeah, that's cool. I guess I'm part of the adventure. But this does that stuff good enough, and it has the added element of having horror, where I actually got satisfied with an adventure film, which has been a long time coming. So I got to have my cake and eat it, too, when it came to this.
I can see why you enjoyed this so much, then, because The Mummy is fucking awesome.
It's,
But I can also understand why National Treasure probably just missed you generation-wise.
It
because
did. That's where it is. It missed me generation-wise.
Because National Treasure is my favorite. Okay, it's not, like, my favorite, but, like, I really love National Treasure. I actually, within the last couple of months, I did a rewatch with my best friend.
Really?
Yeah, we watched, like, National Treasure 1 and 2. Because she has, like, a projector in her apartment, so we just projected it onto the wall and, like, ordered takeout and, like, all
like
that
a certain
shit.
Other apartment you're inside right now. But no, see, that's the thing. With that National Treasure, I definitely missed the boat on the later adventure film because I watched him as an adult, like a full adult. So then it ended up being like, I guess this is cool. It's probably how people who grew up on Indiana Jones saw The Mummy.
I'm sure.
The Mummy came out, they're like, well, it's just a ripoff of Indiana Jones, whatever. I'm a kid, I'm just like, Oh my gosh, what's Jonathan and his quips and Brendan Fraser and oh my gosh, is that
Julia White?
Julia White, or Rachel Weisz.
Don't you dare. I was trying to get her name right.
Rachel Weisz. But yeah, but like all that, seeing it as a kid makes me, you know, happy. But then I wasn't a kid when National Treasure came out. I know it has the same elements. It has the same DNA,
mm-hmm.
right? This carries that DNA and corrupts it, which to me is fucking cool.
It's enjoyable.
It's, yeah, it adds a lot to the film. It adds mm-hmm. a whole lot to the film.
I agree. But yeah.
Okay, so with only 3 noteworthy deaths in the film, which one of those 3 is your top? You know what mine is?
I do? Oh, yeah, yeah. Susie's.
Fuck really?
Me,
yeah.
I just didn't. It was just the one I had the most visceral reaction to. Because, like, I watched it mm-hmm. and I, like, my jaw actually dropped. I was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So I didn't dig that. I mean, I liked it. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was, like, the one that I had the most, like, reaction to.
Interesting. No, that makes sense.
And then Pepe Leons.
Pepe Leons.
Or Benji.
Yeah. I mean, Benji's, that's gruesome, but, you know. It's not as gruesome as the other two.
It's not as gruesome, but also it just wasn't. It was whatever. Yeah. I was kind of whatever about it.
It had the most buildup because you had that girl show up and then all for like...
I think that's why. I think because I saw his coming
mm-hmm.
versus Susie's, I did not.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of felt like she was going to get attacked. I didn't know to the extent that she was going to get brutalized.
Her face was getting it bashed in. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was freakish. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, when it comes to... found footage genre as a whole, you said this is your second favorite or most favorite?
I don't know if I have a favorite. I did want to
I mean in terms of just your other horror subgenres.
Found footage is definitely my favorite
subgenre. There you go. Okay.
Yeah, and I know it stands up pretty high for you as well.
Absolutely. Yeah,
but yeah, so do you have a favorite found footage or mockumentary?
Honestly, I really like, it's kind of a weird one. Well, not a weird one. It's you know, it's a big franchise. I think Paranormal Activity 3 is my favorite found footage film.
Really?
I love 3.
3. Which one was that?
In the 80s.
Yes.
That one with the ghost scene with the rotating camera. Yeah. With like.
Is that the where she also gets yanked up by her hair? No, that's.
No, I think that's later on.
Okay.
Not 100%. Oh, wait, the kid.
The kid,
The little kid gets yanked up by her. Yeah, she does. She gets in her room.
Okay, that is the one. Yeah, because mm-hmm. it's whatever the main... Yeah, the main character when she's a kid.
They're like Christy the and one. I forget the other one.
Yeah.
Mika, Christy. Who's the other girl?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the wife?
I haven't seen them in forever.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
No, not Rachel.
Mm-mm. We'll figure it out. but to me, that film represents peak found footage. Like, it does everything I think the first one does, but better and more... It's not slick like a Dowdle film.
Mm-hmm.
It's still certainly like a Paranormal Activity movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's brilliantly paced. It's in the 80s, so it's done very differently.
Yeah.
Like, them having a discussion on Back to the Future and why it should be named, it's like, should it be Back to the Past? Like shit like that, I think it's a good... Like, it's one of those movies that I think is just the apex of what everybody's trying to do, and it does it in one film and continues... It leaves it open for more, and it gives answers to previous stuff in the franchise. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of those movies that kind of has it all. So I really enjoy that. And it was a good theater experience. I saw that in the most ghetto theater I've ever been to in my life.
Okay.
People were losing their shit. It was amazing.
Seeing, honestly, I saw The Gallows.
Which one's The Gallows?
Actually, this is coincidentally another found footage film. It takes place in a high school, and it's like a cursed production in high school.
That's cool. Okay.
I watched it in a theater. It wasn't like super, you know, like whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was with like a group of high school students in the front row. They collectively, like, it made it so much more enjoyable because they started yelling, throwing mm-hmm. things. Like, the last, like, 30 freakish seconds, they got up and, like, walked into the little hallway. Like, it was hysterical.
Oh,
so
awesome.
It was a shitty movie, but it mm-hmm. just, like, it,
the
experience was hysterical just watching, like, a bunch of, like, kids react to it.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. So what is your favorite one, then? Found footage or mockumentary?
Without warning, the film that I was telling you about earlier mm-hmm. is my favorite mockumentary, or found footage, I guess. But also an honorable mention is the VHS series.
Really?
Oh, fucking, like, the first one.
First one's so good.
The first one, definitely. The mm-hmm. second and third ones are both
I couldn't really get into the third one. I like the second one.
Yeah.
The second one, although I don't like it all, yeah, I liked it.
But I love anthologies.
Anthologies are cool.
I love anthologies.
Are really fucking cool. That's true.
So that is something I really do enjoy. Yeah. I recently watched an anthology now that I'm thinking about it.
Twilight Zone.
Yes. I was like, what did I just recently watch? That was...
Did we just do a podcast on
anthology? Like last week? Fuck. Anyway, but you know, yeah.
I would say also honorable mention, that's pretty close, is Blair Witch Project. Mm-hmm. To me, that I can still watch that. Like, I've watched it probably over 20 times.
And really?
I still love
the Blair Witch Project. Have you seen, not the second one that came out a couple
Book of
years
Shadows.
Book of Shadows. The one that's recent.
No, I really wanted to see that because I like the director, although he did fuck up that one franchise. Not potential franchise. It was the anime adaptation. Death Note.
Oh, he directed that?
Pretty sure he also directed Death Note. I'll have to consult my
The Oracle. My phone.
Yeah, what was it? Death Note?
Maybe.
Death Note 2017. Oh, come on. I don't need a notification now, you stupid fucking thing.
But, no, yeah. The Blair Witch Project, not Book of Shadows.
No, the one out. It's called Blair Witch.
Yeah. It's just called Blair Witch.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. That one I watched. I actually did enjoy.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's not awful.
Same director as Your Next and Death Note. Yep.
Okay, but Your Next is good.
And then he did a segment in VHS, I believe.
Oh, okay. I would...
Adam Wingard's not a bad director, honestly.
Yeah.
Fucked up Death Note, though.
Yes. But some other good found footage films that I personally would recommend. So I said VHS already, which is like definitely one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And then Blair Witch, Paranormal Activity. What's the name of it? What about you? Do you have any others?
Nothing that's really coming to mind, to be honest with
really?
You.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen a bunch. I just... Very few of them grabbed me. I guess I had the same problem as the critics one. You know? But this one got me. So this one I actually really, really like. And then, of course, Poughkeepsie, which is a direct 50-50 when it comes to found footage and mockumentary.
Yeah, because there's also, like, Creep was all right.
Wait, there was another one that...
The Poughkeepsie Taped, of course.
I really liked.
Fuck me. I totally forgot. Unfriended.
Oh, okay. That's up there.
I totally want to talk about that. I'm going to not go super, super into it because I definitely want to cover it in a future episode.
We should, yes.
But Unfriended and Unfriended 2, this is one of the few instances where I'm definitely going to say the sequel was stronger than the original.
Never seen the sequel. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, dude, you need to see it. It is so good. I'm going to put it on the list, so you have to watch it.
We'll talk about this when we do the podcast, but the marketing for Unfriended was so bad, and the film was so good.
Wait, what? The marketing? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for Unfriended, I'm like, I'm not going to watch this shit. Like, going to see it in theaters, the trailers were lame. And then I watched the movie, and I'm, like, engrossed. I'm like, oh my, this is some drama happening, and you put horror around the drama, and you don't give us any freaking lens to see what's happening until shit really hits the fan. That's badass. That's such a good fucking movie.
Yeah, Dark Web is better.
It is. Oh, interesting.
Like, I saw Dark Web in theaters, and I lost my shit. It was so good.
Dude. Okay, see, this is...
In fact, now that I've brought it up, I'm probably going to go home and watch it.
I kind of want to watch it now. it's one of those things, though, too, with horror. Like, you audience, guys, you gotta understand. If you like horror, fuck the critics. Fuck them. Honestly, fuck them, because Unfriended is a really good movie, but it got shat on pretty tremendously, and I know the sequel got shat on even worse. What do you have, like, because I understand it's cheap, and...
it can feel cheap if it's not done well.
Yeah, and it's not going to be no fucking Oscar-worthy experience, but it will be a good experience. And if you can judge it on its own merits, which I feel like critics have a really hard time doing, you might find some real gems out there. Even if they're low Rotten Tomato scores.
I would say, especially in that vein, definitely, so in terms of my favorite and one or found footage films that I would recommend, Hell Inc., which is...
Is it Hell House?
Yeah, Hell House Inc.
LLC.
Yeah, whatever.
Hell House LLC.
Yeah, that. I watched it recently, fucking loved it, highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. That one, and then also... The houses October built.
You told me about this one. I told you about this one. Yeah.
So those ones are two of the most recent ones that I've seen mm-hmm. that I love. The houses October built, I've seen multiple times, and it's still freaky.
Ooh, I
guess
check it out.
I know that there's a second one, and I really want to. I haven't seen it yet, and that might also be on my list of things to do today.
Guys, and the house that Jack built is not a sequel to that movie, so don't go in there thinking. You'll be going into a very different experience.
Which is funny, because DJ also wrote a story called The Houses Virginia Built.
Oh, interesting.
So it's just like there's a common theme here. But
I got one more, though. This is, to me, it was one of the best found footage movies until the last 4 minutes of the film.
Oh, no.
Until the last four fucking minutes. One of the best that I had ever seen. And it had one of the worst endings I've ever seen in my whole life. Last Exorcism.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Have you seen it?
No.
Dude. Honestly, amazing film until literally the last 4 minutes, and then it's like you shouldn't even have watched it in the first place.
Really?
That bad.
That
bad of a turnaround, because it builds this amazing story around an exorcism, and I don't want to spoil it, because I kind of want you to watch
it. Okay, I'll watch it.
Because...
I'll get angry.
You could feel differently, honestly.
Okay.
But I don't. I feel like it was that good a movie until you threw in like a little... and just the worst thing you could have done, I think, to end a film.
Okay.
Like, that bad.
But that, and also well The done. Fourth Kind, if we're going with alien films.
I heard that was really good.
What are your stances on alien films?
I love alien films.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. We'll probably have to... Because, like, another thing that I did not mention, found footage is super, super common, not only as a subgenre of horror, but also of sci-fi.
Sci-fi, yep, that makes sense.
Super common sci-fi, because it's, like, sci-fi, like, thriller type. Mm-hmm. The Europa Report... is one of those. It has a sad as shit ending, but
I
like
I almost watched that one, and then I went in some direction. It was on Netflix for a long time.
Yeah. I started watching it, and then I got bored, and I skipped to the last 10 minutes.
Oh no, that's not how you watch movies.
It's not, but I got bored, and I wanted to know what happened.
Oh, that's interesting. You're like, I was intrigued enough, but not the way they're telling the story. So let's see how
if that happens, I'll usually look up what happens on Wikipedia.
Oh, interesting. We have such different ways of approaching these films.
Well, I'm not going to sit through it if I know it's going to be garbage.
I obviously don't value my time as much, because I will sit through and be like, okay, I can determine that for sure was a waste of my last hour and a half.
Nope.
I have to feel the hour and a half to really know.
but yeah, I think this is...
Oh, well, we'll get one more question. Oh. What do you think of the future of found footage as we head into 2019, 2020? What do you think? What do you think going forward here is?
I am excited for the potential, but also I think we're still burnt out from what the 2010s brought us for found footage.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we're still burnt out. Yeah, we're still burnt out. Mm-hmm. Or like the early 2010s, because we're technically still in the 2010s.
Yeah, barely.
But I think that we're still burnt out, and I think we're going to have to lay off the found footage films for just a little bit, mm-hmm. and then come back with our Scream. Because we need our Scream for found footage.
We need a comeback.
We need a comeback.
I mean, it's not going to have to be meta or whatever it is, but you need a Scream-level film.
There needs to be something to spark that renaissance.
Yes, you need, and you're not going to be able to find it again in a way that Scream did. It has to be within the rules of the genre, and to really corrupt them so that you can't look back anymore. Mm-hmm. You need that kind of film to happen with this genre to go forward.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it's limiting, but you saw those four rules we did earlier. Mm-hmm. Most people are only using two of those fucking rules.
Yeah.
If you can incorporate or add a new one, imagine.
Give me a news footage horror film.
Mm-hmm.
Like a live.
Yeah,
like,
actual reports and shit happening.
Yeah. Like, that would be really cool. Like, but also I understand the limitations of that for a horror film, because mm-hmm. the only time that I've really seen it done successfully is in Without Warning, which is with aliens.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. But
do it with horror.
I know.
Do it with something supernatural, dude.
I know,
give it
I
that
need
Matthew
that shit.
Reeves See, Cloverfield style.
Exactly.
But with,
I'm
with
thinking
horror.
Yeah. I'm thinking like that, but also like, or for like a news footage type thing for horror. Like, oh, I had a thought and it just fucking vanished. Son of a bitch.
Anyway. Maybe everybody vanishes.
Ooh. Oh, like Bird Box.
I haven't seen Bird Box.
Okay. Like the first, like, because like basically it cuts between the beginning of like the outbreak or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen it either, by the way. This is just from what I've seen or what I've heard reviews of. It cuts between present day, quote unquote, mm-hmm. and when the outbreak first happens. So
interesting.
Like covering like an outbreak or something like that. Something like that. Because that really freaks me out.
Man, you know what? I feel like it has to be something that can't be explained. If you give us something that people really need to understand. Like, something, Paranormal Activity was so good because it really played on the supernatural aspect of found footage. Do it supernatural. Don't do it with, like, science. Don't do it with aliens. Don't do it with anything. They'll do it supernatural. Make it newsreel. Make it affect a lot of people. Have multiple cameras. Do something that's not just one guy first-personing through and then going through CCTV footage, and then your scare happens, and then that keeps fucking happening. Do different, because I feel like, we're in a rut. We're in a total rut with the genre, but we're one scream away from coming fucking back.
Yeah, totally. I'm glad we're on the same page on that. But cool.
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
All right. That was As Above, So Below from 2014. Yep. Directed by Mr. Dowdle himself.
Mr. Dowdle, Poughkeepsie fucking guy right there.
So that was it for that. Thank you for joining us this week. Mm-hmm. We already gave you a little bit of a hint, but next week we are doing a classic of sorts. Yes. And y'all are going to really like it, I think.
Oh, yeah. We're doing a... I wouldn't really... I guess it is a subgenre of horror. It's a particular type of story.
Mm.
Like, that is common through... I don't know how to describe it. It's basically a subset of horror, but it's not like a found footage or a genre. It's a person.
So, yeah, definitely.
And we're going to be seeing a lot more of these types of movies going forward, just so you know. So it's good to knock this one out right now.
Yeah, so we have... We're starting a new segment next week, so
yes. it'll be an interesting approach to it. And then other than that, Rob Reiner.
So if you haven't figured it out yet, just be surprised.
I don't know. I think they'll figure it out.
I think they'll figure it out.
Some people might. Yeah,
most
we'll
people
say.
Will.
Yeah.
But anyway, so thank you everyone for joining us. Like I said, please, if you like what you heard, tell a friend about us. Or subscribe on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes as well.
We appreciate it.
We appreciate it. It makes us happy. This has been so much fun for us. And
I know. We're getting a real groove here.
Yeah.
We really are.
It's a lot of fun, and it's super enjoyable. And we love creating the content for you guys, and we love hearing your feedback. Mm-hmm. So if you do listen and you want to, you know, scream along with us, go ahead and find us on our social media platforms. We are at, on Instagram, we are at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. And we're on Twitter at Horror People Pod.
I love the Twitter handle. I really do. That's nice.
And if you're so inclined, we don't really do much with it, but we do have a Facebook page, and that is also at Horror People Pod. And then if you're so inclined, again, you can find us personally on Instagram. Anthony is at Hyrulean Hustler, and I'm at The Blonde Dictionary.
Good names. All right.
So I think that's it. Have a great week, guys, and we'll catch you next time.
All right. Peace out, fuckers.
Bye.